Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. My special guest today is Lynn Sandberg. Lynn has written a book called Heaven on Earth, A Biblical Model for Parenting, and she teaches the principles that are found in her book to offenders in jail and has done so for the last 8 years. We're going to be talking with Lynn about the unique issues that offenders have coming home as a parent. Right after this, I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Please don't forget, worked all night in the kitchen, stealing chicken in the who's kitchen. That party doing what he ought to sleep out, motherfucker, Mexican Mafia. Hey there, send me some mail. MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Let me know how you're doing. Drop me a line. Everybody, and welcome back. I have Lynn Sandberg on the phone with me today. Lynn has a book out called Heaven on Earth. It's a biblical model for parenting, and Lynn teaches the principles found in the book of, well, you know what? I specifically saw the book of Luke. I want to talk to her about that, but she teaches principles found in the Bible to offenders in jail and has done so for the last 8 years. She teaches these parenting principles. And Lynn, welcome to the Journey of Hope today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How did you get into doing this? Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into all this.
Well, it started with me just having a very strong desire to honor the Lord with my parenting. I have three children. They're now all grown. This has been a very long journey for me. It started way back in the early 90s when I just wanted to honor the Lord with this task of raising children for the glory of God. And so he just began to speak to me through actually that reference in Luke, it's Luke 2:52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus grew four ways. And as I was praying and speaking to the Lord, he revealed, he said, my own son grew in these four ways. I want your children to grow in them as well. And so will you let me teach you what I am like? And so it just began a journey of me learning what God is like and then, you know, teaching that to my children. And so as I kind of fleshed out these principles in my own home, I began to jot them down, and it just started formulating into a very extensive teaching. And so when I became a volunteer at the my local jail, it's with the Good News Jail and Prison Ministry, the warden, I'll never forget it, he came to one of our meetings, and he's very passionate about helping the incarcerated to not come back. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has not just a heart to run a jail, but to teach these people to think differently, to live differently once they get out. And so he was communicating what he wanted for the inmates there. He took it very personally. And so he slammed his fist on the podium and he says, "And I want a parenting course in this jail." And I was pretty excited because, you know, I had it, fully developed, not written out like I do now have in the book, but, fully developed in order to teach it. And so I look over at my chaplain, and he nodded and said yes, that I could go ahead and start teaching that. And so that kind of got me started teaching the inmates, and I have, I was thinking the other day, it may tally up to over 500 people that I've taught this material to both the men and the women. The chaplain has allowed my husband and I to come in and teach it to the men on a regular basis, and what a joy that is. You know, because I told the chaplain, I said, men are parents too.
Exactly.
You know, and three-fourths of people in this jail are men. They need this parenting course. And so, of course, he agreed. And
Very cool.
Allowed my husband to come in and teach it with me because, of course, it is important that, that women not be ministers and teachers of the men by themselves. And so my husband and I co-teach it. And it's a, the men are just such a blessing to teach. And so I remember one time, I think it was last year, one of the men came up to me. He was so inspired by what he was learning. He said, "Oh, Miss Lynn, I want my wife to be learning this too. Can you, like, teach this on the outside? Can you teach this, you know, can you offer it to the wives of all of us?" And so that kind of inspired me, and I think it was last summer I taught it, offered it to all of the wives and girlfriends of the men in that class, and what a blessing that was.
Excellent.
Being able to teach the mothers and the fathers the same principles so they could be on the same page together. And that, you know, it's just been such a journey and such a blessing to me to be a part of these men and women's lives, to help them to see that there really is a better way of thinking, a better way of living.
Great. Well, I want to, you know, before we go any further, let me just thank you and your husband for what you're doing. It's just wonderful that you're doing that, and you're not scared to do it, and you see redeeming value in people who make mistakes. And we're going to be talking about that more in just a second. But first, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned Luke 2:52, where Jesus develops in four ways. What are those four ways?
Well, it says he grew in wisdom. And so I actually have it divided into two different categories. Of course, I think we all know that there's a difference between being wise and being smart. You can have, like, book smart, smart, and climb the corporate ladder and be, you know, really brilliant at academic things, but not be very wise.
Street smart.
And, yeah, you're smart but not wise. You can also be wise but not really that smart. I mean, they're two different things. And I tell my students that if you've done nothing else but to help your child to become wise, you've done a great thing, because wisdom permeates into every other area of your life. If you're wise, you're going to make smart choices or wise choices in regards to your health. You're going to make wise choices in regards to your friends. You're going to make, what, you know, you see what I'm saying? All the way across the board. So the first way that Jesus grew was in wisdom, and it's both about developing a child's brain to be the most developed that it can be, but also to become wise. And then he also grew in stature, which means he grew physically. So I've got a very long chapter on what does it take to help a child to become physically strong. And there's a lot of different categories. You mostly think nutrition, and of course that's actually my hobby. I love to study food and what is good for us and what will make us strong. I
study
had
it too as it's going into my mouth usually, but
okay. It's like, oh man, my food.
I make some very unwise choices with some of the things that I put in my mouth. But anyway, that's another thing. Go ahead.
Well, that chapter would be good for you to read. I mean, I just have a strong desire to have a long life. And if we're unwise about what we eat, it will shorten our life. side, I mean, it's a pretty technical chapter, unlike the other ones. I talk about trans fat and the good kind of fat. I call them MUFAs, monounsaturated fatty acids, and people are like, oh, there you go. The chaplain teases me. He always used to call me the tree hugger of the health world, you know, and laugh about it, you know, because I would always be bringing in healthy treats. So it's actually, in order to get your family to eat healthy food, you have to be pretty creative to make sure that that food tastes good. Because a lot of, like, you know, whole wheat and, you know, fiber and all that, you know, like, oh, you're trying to make me eat cardboard. And so, you know, they can grumble about it.
But, Lynn, it was my experience in prison that for the most part, they really did, you know, there's calorie requirements and that sort of thing when they feed you.
Right.
But for the most part, you know, they did do a pretty good job balancing food. I mean, there's a lot of crap in there, too. But most of there were a lot of vegetables that were grown there on the farm and so forth.
Yes.
And, you know, you can make that work for you while you're in jail.
You can. You know, as an inmate, you can pick and choose, you know, look at your tray. I actually, you know, I talk to them about their tray. I'm not only their teacher, but I'm also their minister. So I'm allowed to go down into the section. And a lot of times I'm there, you know, during meal time, and I look at their food and we talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you just go with all the starches, you're going to put on, you know, 50 pounds while you're waiting for your indictment. You know, you can wait up to 12 months in Harrison County for your indictment. And so if you go, you know, sit around, lay around all depressed and just eat all the carbs, yeah, you're going to put it on and you're not going to be a very healthy person. But, you know, if you learn about nutrition, what is good for you, and so I don't only talk about food, because being a healthy person is a lot more than that. It's about exercise and sweating and sunshine. And, you know, I tell the people, you know, you have opportunity to have yard call. You get out there because you need sunshine. You're not, you know, I've not ever seen anybody there be served milk. So you're not getting the vitamin D and the calcium that you need, except for the broccoli that they serve them every single day. And so... they get sick of their broccoli, but I said, you eat your broccoli. I feel like their mama, you know. Eat your broccoli.
So, Lynn, what are the other areas? We had that he grew physically.
Yes, and so he grew intellectually. That's being smart, but also wise. He grew physically, of course, and that's what we were just talking about. And then he grew in favor with men and in favor with God. And growing in favor with God means he grew spiritually. He developed a close relationship with God, and also he grew socially. He grew in favor with men. And so I talk about how can we help our child to grow socially. And I say, hey, the social area of a child's life is actually one that can be the quickest to bring a child down. By the time they're young teenagers, they can start developing friendships with people that are going to drag them in the wrong direction.
Okay, that's exactly right. And I want to stop you right there, because we're going to get a little bit more specific after the break. We're going to take a real quick break. Lynn Sandberg is here. She's got a book called Heaven on Earth, A Biblical Model for Parenting. And we're going to have more with Lynn right after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Hey, y'all, be sure and join me on the next show when my special guest will be Marcia Barth. She volunteers with a group called Step Into Life Ministries, and she's the author of a book called The Shattering. It's about overcoming adversity, but Marcia's got hands-on experience in the prisons and has got a lot of really good things to say about how to get yourself together when you're on your way out the door. Marcia Barth, next time on The Journey of Hope. We're talking with Lynn Sandberg. Heaven on Earth, A Biblical Model for Parenting is her book, and Lynn goes into the county jail there where she's at and is allowed to teach these parenting principles to the inmates as they're getting ready to, I guess, be released or waiting for things to happen on their case. Mm-hmm. Okay. One of the things that I was in prison for 7 years and 11 months, and one of the things I noticed when I came home was that there seemed to be a change in, like, the respect that kids had towards authority, just in that short period of time that I was gone. Is that a symptom of us not doing a good job as parents?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It really does fall back on the parent. And we've seen, my husband and I have been teaching children in church and at school. I've been a speech pathologist in the school. We have a lot of experience with children across the board, and we have definitely seen we've been doing this together for over 30 years, and it's been a very alarming thing to see. The children have developed a general disrespect for authority, for teachers, and it. We've actually seen a couple of generations of it, and so it definitely falls back to the parent. One of the things we've seen is the parent is trying to be the friend rather than leading the home, and a lot of children are being allowed to make all kinds of choices that in the past parents would take authority and say, no, this is what our family is going to do.
Too much permissiveness?
No, absolutely.
Prior, Lynn, to me getting into all my trouble and having to go off to prison for a while there, I'm here in Texas. I taught school for 16 years, and I have two of my children that are now school teachers. And the stories that they tell me, I mean, it just blows me away. That there has definitely been a shift in the way that children treat adults.
Yes.
And I think it's a shame. And so I'm kind of leading up. Here's what I'm doing. I'm kind of leading up into this. You've got someone who's been incarcerated for quite a while. They come home, and this happens all the time, as I'm sure you know, and they come home to maybe teenage children that don't really know them that well, okay?
Right.
And one of the things that you talk about is discipline. And what I wanted to ask you is, that parent that's coming home from incarceration, can they just jump right into the discipline or not? What's your advice along those lines?
Well, I talk to a lot of people that are worried about, you know, I'm going to get out and how do I get re-engaged with my children. I think it has to be very slowly.
Okay.
You come home and you start marking out orders, this is the way we're going to do things. And that young teenager, they can be as young as 10, 11 years old, and they're like, I don't know who you think you are. You haven't been here.
And you know,
you haven't been here for me.
I'll tell you something, Lynn.
That's exactly what's going to come out of
their mouth. Well, it happened to me, and I'll tell you something. There's a little bit of validity to what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, that's the sting.
Right.
And if the parent, you know, really embraces that, like, yeah, I don't really have the right, they'll shy away from their responsibility. So it has to be a blend of truly admitting, you're right, I haven't been here. But I'm here now, and I love you. The Bible says, don't be surprised if the Lord disciplines you, because he disciplines those he loves. I believe that when a man or a woman comes back home, they've got to be very quick to communicate to that child, I love you, and I know I haven't been there, and I'm asking you to forgive me. I've messed up. And because I messed up, I had to go away and I had to do tons. But I'm back and I want to re-engage. And I want to show you that I'm a new person and I want to work this with you. Would you, I mean, I love you and I want to re-engage. For some teenagers, it might take a while.
But it does.
Have to patiently but persistently earn their respect back and show them I am not going anywhere. I've changed, and I'm going to re-engage, and you can trust me. And at first, they're going to like, yeah, trust you?
Yeah.
But with time, this is what I teach. I said, listen, this is the hope. I'm going to give you hope, because children, in their basic nature, understand that they need their mom, and they need their dad.
They do.
And other people can come into their life, and they can perform the task of mother and father, and it's a blessing to have somebody there. But they'll never be father. They'll never be mother. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That I experienced the death of my mother when I was 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember crying, and that shouldn't surprise anybody, that I would cry when my mother died. But I would have to confess that I did not cry because she died, and that makes me feel ashamed. I did not cry because she died. I cried because she chose never to invest in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Once I became an adult, it was like, you know, have a nice life. I hope you figure it out. And she just disengaged with me and chose to live her own life, and it hurt me to the core of my being. Because I really believe that a person needs a mother and father all the days of their life.
They need to
have that understanding that that person who gave birth to them really loves them.
Lynn, I'm learning. Let me just stop you right there, Lynn. I'm learning that, you know, all of our children are adults now, and I'm learning...
Yes.
I mean, you know, there's a drama llama ding dong going on with one of them at any given time. And I've never stopped being a parent. There's a lot of room, even though I missed a lot of the important years of their childhood. And this goes for a lot of offenders out there. There's still a lot of room to be a parent. I mean, because your kids need you. And, you know, I think about when I was in my 20s and 30s, I needed my parents then, you know, even though I was making grown-up decisions and that sort of thing. And I can see that my kids, who are all in their 20s now and have careers and jobs and getting married and having babies and all that kind of stuff, they're still children. They're still children.
Your child, and they will forever be your child. And
it's not just
if you reestablish that relationship, and they see that you're genuine, then they will reengage with you, and then you have the opportunity to teach them all kinds of things. And what a blessing for them, and a blessing for you. All three of my children stay very connected to me. Not like a dependency that's not healthy. They're off doing their own thing.
Right.
But when they have issues and problems, a simple little thing like an issue at the grocery store, they don't know which, you know, one of them called me and said, what should I buy, the 1-pound bag of beans or the 2-pound bag of beans?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a simple little, right. Maybe you think that's not a big deal question. But when they feel comfortable asking me a not-so-big-deal question, and I respectfully answer it, then maybe they'll ask me another one. And I have had the joy and privilege of talking to them about very serious things.
Right.
And so they come to me. They know that I will treat them with respect. I won't laugh at them. I won't say,
so,
I can't believe you don't know that.
So all you offenders out there, that if you're in my shoes and you missed some of those childhood years, don't worry, you're going to get your chance to be a parent. You're still going to get your chance. Lena, we're getting close on time here, and there's a couple other things just real quick I wanted to touch base with you. With little kids, biblically speaking, is it okay to spank or not?
It absolutely is. You go to the scripture, and Proverbs is full of scripture that tells us that we are actually neglecting them if we, you know, reject the whole idea that our society says that it's not a good idea to spank. And so one of the things that I talk about in my book is all the different ways to discipline a child. Spanking is not the only way to get your child's behavior to change, but it is one of them.
Right.
And so don't shy away from it. As long as you do it in a healthy way and it doesn't cross over to being abusive. Spanking can be redemptive, meaning you're drawing the child back into relationship with you, or it can be abusive. And so it's very careful, very important that we're careful to understand the difference. And that's one of the things that I talk about in the book.
Okay, and so that's in the book. And I'm going to recommend that people take a look at that. Guys, when you get home, or if you're home now and you're in this situation where you're reconnecting with the kids, you want to get this book from Lynn. Okay, one final question. Grandparents. A lot of guys come home from prison, and they are, voila, grandparents. What is the role of a grandparent? Say you get to see your grandchildren a lot, maybe every weekend or whatever it may be. What is the grandparent's role in discipline? Do grandparents, should they spank little kids? Should they, what's the grandparent's role? Let me tell you what I do before you answer. I get the joy out of them for about 30 minutes, and then I go do something else. That's it. We've got twin girls, grandchildren, that are getting ready to turn 3, and I just love them, but I love them for about 30 minutes, and I'm done. You know? This is the way I am. But anyway, seriously.
Well, I have 2 3-year-old granddaughters as well.
Uh-huh.
And one from one child, one from another. And so I really enjoy being with them. When my children are present with their own children, they're responsible for disciplining their child.
Okay.
But if they want me to like take their child for the weekend or something, I tell my child, look, if you want me to do that, then you have to give me the power to discipline them. I'm not going to have them come in my home thinking that they can do whatever they want to do and run me over. I have to have the power to discipline.
Yeah.
And so
I agree.
You know, I have found, though, that I don't need to discipline them very much. It's like they have a respect for me, and they know that I don't mess around. I raise my eyebrow at them or, you know, have a scolding tone in my voice.
Mm-hmm.
They shape up pretty quick. I don't have to do much. But I tell them, you do that again, and I'm going to spank you. And then they're like, oh, can she do that? I'm like, yes.
Try me.
Yes, trust me. I can do that.
Okay.
And they believe me.
What about
I would do it. I would do it in a heartbeat because it is out of my great love for them
absolutely.
That I would, and my child needs to give me permission to do it.
Okay. You're there with your child, and the grandchildren, you see the grandchild act up. Do you tell your child right there, don't let that child do that?
We talk about it. Okay. You know, it's because it's now their time to be the parent. You know, that's kind of treading on, you know, water there. You have to kind of feel it out with your child because they're really the authority in that, in the grandchild's life.
Right.
And so you don't want to, like, step on toes and not show respect, especially in front of the grandchild.
Right.
You need to show respect to the parent and say, you can say, I don't like what they're doing. And would you take care of it, or do you want me to take care of it? You know, in other words, you have to have an open dialogue with your child and treat them with respect, especially in front of the grandchild. You need to show them that the grandchild, that the parent is in charge here.
Lynn, this is all great advice. We're totally out of time. I feel like we could go on with this because it's a great topic. Lynn Sandberg, the book is called Heaven on Earth, A Biblical Model for Parenting. Guys, if you're in the situation like I am where you're having to reconnect, and I've been home a few years now, and you know, I've kind of jumped the hurdle, but this is still an excellent book. I highly recommend it. It's Lynn Sandberg. Lynn, just real quick, and we got to go, tell us how to get the book.
All right, you can go to my website, heavenbroughthome.com. It's also on Amazon and my publishing website, Crossbooks, but you can connect with me because it's also a parenting course.
Okay.
And you can get that course from me at heavenbroughthome.com.
Excellent. Okay. Lynn, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you very much.
We're going
to
take another quick
break.
We enjoyed it. We're going to have you back sometime. We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back after this. I'm Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. Well, hey there. Be sure and drop me a line. Let me know how you're doing, okay? It's MathersRodney@yahoo.com, MathersRodney at yahoo.com. If you've got a suggestion for the show, or if you know of someone who would be a good guest on the Journey of Hope, let me know, and I'll set it up, and we'll do it. Once again, that's MathersRodney@yahoo.com, MathersRodney@yahoo.com. Drop me a line. Well, we're at the end of another show. I want to thank my special guest today, Lynn Sandberg, and I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on the Journey of Hope.